The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And I hope that you're having a great morning. Well, the big news yesterday was that Kamala Harris chose her running mate, Tim Walz, of the governor from Minnesota. And so it's Harris Walz versus Trump and Vance for the presidency in November. And we're going to discuss that at length tomorrow. But today, because it's Wednesday and I have Hurricane Debbie here sitting across the table.
Although spelled differently.
D-E-B-B-Y, I think
that's
is Hurricane
right.
Debbie.
Yes.
And you are Hurricane D-E-B-B-I-E.
That's correct.
So Debbie is a...
But we are... Debbie is strengthening again.
Yes, and we don't mean to make light of that. Hurricanes
are
horrible.
They're absolutely horrible.
Debbie is a force to be reckoned with in our home, and she and I have been married for 38 years, and so we want to talk today about this subject, what women want. You might remember a movie that that came out, it's almost 25 years ago now, with Mel Gibson. It was called What Women Want. And in the story, Mel Gibson, he's some advertising executive or some guy in that field, and he's trying out these products, and he gets in the bathtub and he ends up shocking himself, and he passes out. He wakes up in the morning, and he has this superpower, so to speak, where he can hear women's thoughts, and he knows now what they want. And so the movie's called What Women Want. And you know, it's funny, because God, obviously the creator, he knows what women want. He can read their minds and their thoughts and their heart. He knows everything about every single one of us. But God tells us in his word, hey, husbands, this is what women want. And he gives it to us in commands. Ephesians 5, we are given commands of what women want. And it says this: husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. So lots of stuff in there, Debbie, but one of the things that God tells husbands very clearly, hey, you love your wife, because what do women want? They want to be loved.
Yes, and I think love has a very broad definition in terms of the type of love that a woman needs, because it's expressed in ways that are different than how a man receives love. A man's greatest need is, as we have talked about on the broadcast before, his greatest need is respect. And women, by and large, it's not that we want to be disrespected, but that is not at the top of our list of things that we need emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so, When we start talking about the fact that women need love, it's more than just this warm, fuzzy kind of Valentine feeling. Love has to express itself in a lot of different ways. And you've talked about this before, Jeff, how women are just a lot more complex than men.
Yes.
And I mean, I will attest to that. I own that, and I'm proud of it, actually. But as it relates to this topic of a woman needing love, it's manifested in a lot of different ways. And one of the first ones that really comes to my mind is just, you know, the emotional aspect of love, to feel emotionally connected to your significant other, to your husband, to your boyfriend, whatever. You want there to be emotional availability and emotional vulnerability, mm-hmm. where you're sharing openly with each other and you're talking about your feelings. And for some men, that can be extremely difficult to talk about their feelings. You obviously can speak more to this since you're a man than I can, but I think oftentimes men, number one, a lot of them don't really know what they feel. That's number one. But number two, that vulnerability leads them to think, oh, if I share this, am I going to be disrespected? Am I not going to be seen the same way? And so that can inhibit men from having that vulnerability and availability emotionally with their wives.
Yeah, well, I think for a lot of men, I mean, this is just people in general, but men especially, if we feel like we're going to let down our guard, we're going to really let you see the inner us and all our fears and, you know, insecurities and things like that, that you won't see us the same, that you won't respect us, that maybe you won't love us anymore because I don't want to let you in to see all the things that I think during the day. You know, for most men, you know, we don't want to have our thoughts on display.
Right.
You know, when Mel Gibson could read a woman's thoughts, well, that leaves her very vulnerable and exposed, mm-hmm. because I can't think anything that you don't already know. You know, we need to remember that God knows all those things. And it's important to remember, too, men and women, that just because a thought comes into your mind, that doesn't mean you're thinking it. The devil can throw thoughts at your mind. You know, we're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And if an evil thought, a horrible thought comes into your mind, just don't let it nest there. You know, you don't have to receive it. You can put a guard at the door of your mind and say, halt, who goes there? But I do think, getting back to what you were saying, I do think for a lot of men, they're afraid to really let their wife know all the things that are going on inside.
Well, and what can be confusing for a woman is that normally during the dating time, a man does share more. He is more engaged in your life. He is more emotionally available. He is more emotionally vulnerable. And that's part of what attracts us to you, is that availability, that vulnerability. But then when you get married and life just starts happening and you get into your routines, you can kind of, for lack of a better way, kind of a better term, kind of go into your man cave emotionally. And so for women, that is such a critical need in our lives, that we end up feeling emotionally separated from you. And as a result of that, that leads us to pull back a little, which leaves you feeling disrespected, and then it's just this horrible downward
well,
spiral.
Well, I think in so many marriages, so the physical part of marriage, as Tim LaHaye called it, the act of marriage, mm-hmm. that's super important for most guys. Important to women, but not in the same way. They don't have the physical need and buildup that happens in their person like it does in a guy. And so that is really, really critical. So I think that guys, when they're dating their spouse-to-be, we are very cognizant of the fact that we are filling up her emotional tank. We're very into her, want to talk to her. She just looks good. She smells good. You know, it's just being around her is just, that's the highlight of the day, you know, and all those things. Those are normal and natural. That's not sustainable. You can't have that for,
With the same intensity.
Yeah, for 50 years, you're not going to have sweaty palms and my heart's beating out of my chest, you know, when you do it at the beginning. You know, some people, they're in love with the feelings of being in love. And so they go from one person to another person to another person because those initial infatuation feelings are fun, but they're not sustainable. And love is way more than that. It's not just an infatuation. So a husband, we fill our wife's emotional tank. We're full court press. We're all over her as far as flowers, candy, calls, sweet little notes, all that kind of stuff. That I just want to be with you. And she eats that up. And then you get married, and then it's like, well, okay, I've
check that box.
It's kind of like bagging a big game. You know, I got you on you're my trophy wife. Now I'm going to go slay the dragons. And I hope when I come home that our love life is just off the charts. But if her emotional tank is not being filled, the physical part goes out the window.
Well, and I think, too, another aspect of love or another facet of it that women need a lot more than men do probably is just kindness, understanding, patience, because we are wired so completely differently. So men can compartmentalize things just a whole lot, and women, we're just like this big bowl of spaghetti where everything is intermingled and we can't get it separated. And in the midst of that, we can get emotionally overwrought. We can get emotionally exhausted because we just have all these things going on all the time. And so we so desperately need just kind words. A woman, men can joke with each other and be harsh with each mm-hmm. other and real blunt with each other, and women don't handle that the same way. So you cannot treat your wife like you do the guys
your roommate or the guys in the
locker room. I mean, it just doesn't work that way because women don't have that hard shell on the outside like so many men do. And so we thrive in an environment where we are treated with kindness, with understanding, with patience. And that's part of what, for a woman, that's what builds our friendship with our husband, is when he is treating us in that way. And with that friendship, that love deepens and it grows.
You know, I still remember teaching Sunday school way back when at Champion Forest, and I was talking about the differences between men and women. I said, you know, men like to put nicknames on people, mm-hmm. and I really like to do that. My dad did that. I tend to do that. But one of my friends, Alan Howard, that I played basketball with, he was a couple years ahead of me. He was a great basketball player, 6'6". Well, everybody called Alan Big Al. That was just his name, Big Al. And I said, you know, Alan liked that nickname. Well, there's Big Al. And if you're 6'6", you can be called Big Al. If you're 5'6", probably not. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, how many women want to be called Big Sue? You know, I mean, that would not be a nickname that they would, here comes Big Sue. She's 6'1", 240. You know, I mean, that's not what she would want to hear.
Well, and I think about that with your friendship with Mike. With Michael Lurch, and your friendship goes back to when you guys were in seventh grade, or you were in seventh grade, and just the way y'all talk to each other, I have said to you so many times, women would never talk to each other like this, because one of you might say, gosh, you're looking fat. How much you weighing now? You know, that kind of thing. Like, a woman would never say that, A, to another woman, but were a man or her husband to say that to her, she would be devastated.
Right.
I mean, it would be a hurt and words that she could never unhear, ever.
Right.
And so we're just wired so completely differently, and we thrive in an environment where there's kindness, where there's understanding, where there's patience, where there's gentleness.
Where you're built up.
Where we're built up, yes, yes.
So Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, that's a build-up word, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. So, women do respond really well to sweet words, kind words, words that build up and not words that tear down. And that goes both ways, because a husband is hypersensitive toward disrespect. And if a wife is speaking words that have little barbs in them, little digs, he does not like that at all. And that will repel him. He won't want to be around you if he feels like being around you is just a classroom of disrespect. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about what women want. How can we know what women want, guys? Well, we can know it from the scripture. And Ephesians 5 gives commands to the husband of how he is to treat and love his wife. And from those commands, we can learn what women want.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie. And before we jump back into what women want, I just wanted to remind you that this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Family Radio. And so we want you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. AFR and Revival Fires International are partnering to provide the only hope for teens as they return to school. Listen, the only hope for any of us is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This world is a sinking ship, and it is going down. And you'll only find salvation in the Lord Jesus. And as Peter said in Acts chapter 4, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Well, the Truth for Youth Bible is designed to speak the language of a teenager. It doesn't water down the Word of God at all. It's God's Word translation, which is a good, solid translation, but very easy to read. It's got issues in addition to the New Testament. It's got some issues that are be interesting to a teenager. It's got some chick track type comments in there, or little comics in there to reel them in. And it's a great way to make an impact on campuses. So how do you get involved? Well, visit tfy.org. TFY, truthforyouth.org, anytime online, or you can call during business hours, 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890, between 8:30 and 4:30 Central. Well, let's get back to what women want. We said that there was a very popular movie back in 2000 with Mel Gibson, where all of a sudden he, through an accident, could understand women because he could hear them, their thoughts. And God knows the thoughts of women. And God tells us in his word, in commands to the husband, this is what a husband is to do. He's to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He's to love his wife as his own flesh. No one ever hated his own flesh, the scripture says, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church. And so we are to love our wives, guys, sacrificially. We're to love our wives as we love and care for our own bodies, as we nourish, which is a providing word, and cherish, which is a protecting word, our own bodies. And the reason God tells us to do that is because that's what a woman needs. That's what a woman wants. And so, Debbie, you were talking at the break about the nourishing and cherishing, the providing and protecting.
Yeah, I think that's another element of how a man does show love, is providing security and protection for his wife. And she needs security in the relationship. She needs financial security. She wants to know that she's protected, that he would lay down his life for her, that he would, at the cost of his own life, protect her in whatever situation may come up, and that he protects her emotionally from other people that might hurt her, or that he provides a border of protection around her from other relationships that may be harmful to her, or whatever it may be. And a woman desperately needs that security. She needs to feel that financially that they're stable. And I remember early on in our marriage, oh gosh, it used to just make me crazy. But one of your favorite games to play was how cheap can we live? Like, Debbie, if we had to, what's the absolute cheapest we could live? And it would just undermine my security so much.
But you didn't tell me that.
It would make me feel so anxious. Like, oh my goodness, is he on the verge of losing his job? And, you know, we're not going to have money to pay rent and to own our home and money for groceries and the electricity bill. And gosh, I don't want to live as cheap as we can live. You know, I've always said that I like living in the lap of luxury. And obviously luxury has many different definitions, but that would just undermine my security so much. And at the time, I didn't say anything to you about it because I didn't understand that's what it was doing in me. You know, the older I've gotten, right, as I look back
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that had you explained to me right, that, hey, this is
right,
unnerving.
Yeah, but it goes back to the issue of that a woman needs that stability in her life. She needs her husband to be the same in every situation that they're in, so that he's not unstable, that he's providing stability just in his own person, mm-hmm, that he's a stable person. And that stability and that provision, those are things that attracted us to you. And so to make sure that you do that, and to cherish us, to put us on a pedestal. And, you know, the Bible talks about how very differently men and women are made, and that men are made from red dirt and women are fashioned from the bone of Adam. Mm-hmm. And so we're just a lot more delicate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, feminism has come in and pretty much ruined culture, but they have taken away and want everyone to see the sexes as completely equal. Now, I think the sexes have equal value. Absolutely, we have equal value in the eyes of God, but we are not equal in terms of our physical makeup and how God put us together. And studies, scientific, non-biblical studies have been done that prove these points. And so as a, quote, weaker vessel, unquote, not a less valuable vessel.
A lesser person, but physically weaker.
But a weaker vessel. We need to feel protected. We need to have that security that is there for us emotionally, relationally, for the future, financially. We just need that type of security.
Well, it is important. And, you know, I think a huge thing in marriages, and you've always been good with this, Debbie, and it's helped me so much. I encourage wives all the time. You need to tell your husband what's going on. See, because when it comes to, I remember I had a friend of mine, he said, women are like butterflies, men are like buffaloes. He said, a butterfly is very in tune with her surroundings. You know, if the wind changes, a butterfly knows it because they're very sensitive, delicate creatures, beautiful creatures. A buffalo doesn't know if the temperature drops 20 degrees. He's not really in tune with that because he's, you know, a butterfly sees flowers and just lights on them. A buffalo sees flowers and tramples them. And so they're just different. And so women need to tell what women want. Well, tell us what you want, and don't make us guess, because we're not good at guessing. And so this is how it is. I was having this conversation with a staff member. I said, this is how it is for most guys. If the bedroom life in the marriage is decent, whatever decent might be, it's different for different people. But I mean, if you're coming together at least twice a week, he's thinking, okay, everything is pretty good. You know, if it's three times a week, everything's really good. She might be just feeling like her emotional tank is getting down to zero. And she's going through the motions. If he's not savvy enough, he can't tell that. And so he's just thinking, okay, well, she's here for me physically, so I guess everything's fine. And she's thinking, man, our relationship is like a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. So here's the thing. This is kind of fun to do in marriage. You know, ask your spouse, okay, you know, the wife asks the husband, where do you think we are on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being terrible, 10 being our marriage is great. Give me a number where we are right now. And typically, his number is not going to be the same as your number. And the wife's number is going to be accurate where they really are. And because if the husband is miserable, the wife is going to know that, right? Most of the time.
Most of the time.
But if the wife is miserable, the husband tends not to pick up on that. Why? Because we get so distracted with other things. We get distracted with the pressures of work and making a living and providing and all that stuff that we can lose sight of, hey, I have to make sure that she is good. I remember Ken Hemphill told a story when he was pastoring in West Virginia, one of those places. I think it was Virginia, but Ken Hemphill was the president of Southwestern Seminary. And he said when he was pastoring, he was so busy and meeting everybody else's needs and all the things that come with being a pastor of a large growing church. And he said his wife called him one day and she said, I need to tell you about a couple in our church that's hurting, that's struggling. And he said, well, how long has this been going on? She said, for quite a while. He said, why didn't you tell me about this? Who's the couple? She said, it's us. And ooh, he was just oblivious to the fact that she's hurting and their marriage is not going well.
Right.
And so it's easy to lose sight of that.
Well, and one thing that you touched on, which I want to expand on a little bit, is that another way that women are shown love is with romance. Uh-huh. And, you know, when you were dating us, you were full court press with the romance, you know? Uh-huh. And so you weren't distracted by other things. We were the attraction. And so after marriage takes place and life just sets in, because it's like you said, you can't keep that inferno blaze going for all of your life in terms of that kind of intensity. But the natural drift is for a man to become more selfish with his time. That's right. The natural drift, and to be more engaged with his phone, with his sports, with his hobbies, with his work,
with his friends,
you know, all of those things. And when we were dating, we were the primary focus. So there was a lot of attention given to us, a lot of planning in terms of, we want this date to be special. A lot of thought went into things, and a woman just eats that up. Uh-huh. And so that romance is important, and it's important to keep that alive in your marriage. And again, that you're going to cycle through seasons of that. You know, we've seen that in our own marriage where life happens and we both kind of drift into our own little rooms, you know, dealing with whatever life is hitting us with. And then we realize, oh man, I really miss this other person. I really miss Jeff. We don't have the same connection that we had. I miss that. We've got to get that back. And so that's the work of marriage. And in marriage, you cannot just coast, because if you do, you're going to end up isolated in separate rooms and you're going to be roommates with each other instead of having an intimate oneness relationship that God desires for you to have. But that idea of romance is super important to us.
Well, as I preached a sermon one time years ago, good marriages don't just happen. You have to put in the time. You have to put in the effort. It's just like anything. If you're going to be good at anything, you have to practice at it. You have to put in the time and the effort. You have to learn about it. I remember Gary Smalley when he would do conferences, he would ask the guys, he goes, okay, guys, well, how many of you have read a book on marriage? Yeah, next to nothing, you know, no hands up or very few. How many of you have, you know, listened to messages about marriage? You know, nobody was really seeking that out. It's typically the woman that's seeking out because she's very sensitive. She's a butterfly. She's very sensitive to the relationship, and the guy is not as sensitive to that. You know, when we spoke at Family Life marriage conferences around the country, typically, it was the woman that wanted to go, that got her husband to go.
Right.
And we had that one video where the guy said, well, you know, I felt like if I submitted to my wife and would come to this meeting, that at least I'd get some sex out of the deal.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, he's just being honest. Mm-hmm. And so it is important to start your marriage off right. If you're listening and you're not married yet, you're engaged and you have a date set and all that, start some ground rules saying, this is what we want for our marriage. And Debbie, you and I have talked about this before. lots of Christians grow up in homes where mom and dad don't really have a great marriage. And, you know, strong Christians typically come out of a strong Christian home or a non-Christian home, not a nominal Christian home, because kids that grow up in a nominal Christian home, they say this Christianity stuff is just, it's take it or leave it. It's not, it doesn't change anyone's life. And so they're usually jettison it when they become adults. But lots of people growing up, they don't see a vibrant marriage displayed before them. And so they say, well, whatever, when I get married, I don't want to have that.
Right.
And we go into it thinking, I mean, does anyone go into marriage thinking, I just want it to be crummy? I want it to be a 5 out of 10. I mean, I think most of us say, I want to have a good marriage. But life does slap you in the face. And, you know, marriage is one of those things that looks easy from the outside. It's hard when you start to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it takes a lot of work and a lot of intentionality, because you can't just let it. The natural thing, if you do nothing, is that you're going to drift apart. That's just the natural thing that's right. going to happen. So you're constantly fighting against those headwinds that are trying to cause you to separate. I ran across this article that I thought was really fun, and I wanted to share these. But it was from a marriage website called marriage.com, and it talks about 20 qualities that a woman wants in her man. And I thought these were interesting. Number one, that he is respectful. Number two, that he is chivalrous. Yeah, that's hard for me to say. Say it again.
Chivalrous,
yes. Okay, that he communicates, that he is grateful, that he is a good listener, that he isn't afraid.
Wait, what was that last one?
Yeah, you didn't hear that, did you? Because you weren't listening. That he isn't afraid of commitment, that he is confident, not overconfident, but that he is confident, that he does not play mind games. That's a big one, especially in today's culture, because if you're not familiar with the term gaslighting, you need to look that one up. Okay, number nine, he has a sense of humor. Number 10, he is kind and considerate. He's self-motivated. He's honest and reliable. He's emotionally available and vulnerable. He's compatible sexually. He is a nurturer. He's self-aware. He's open to positive criticism. He disagrees respectfully. He's someone with principles, and he loves her.
Amen. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. We're talking about what women want as God commands a husband in Ephesians 5 to love her, to nourish her, to cherish her, to love her as Christ loved the church, and to cherish her and nourish her as he would his own body. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, or a brief testimony, give us a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about what women want. How can we as husbands know what our wives want? How can we in the dating scene, how can we know you know, how to connect with this person that we feel so attracted to. It would be nice if we had that special power that Mel Gibson had in the movie What Women Want, where you could read their minds, but we can't do that. But what we can do is we can connect to the Lord, and He tells us, He knows everything about your girlfriend, your spouse, you know, he knows everything about everyone. And so as we connect to Him, He can show us, hey, how this is how you are to love your wife, and these are the things that she needs. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony of God working in your relationship to take your marriage, maybe it was bad and the Lord put His touch upon it, and it became something wonderful and special and great. You know, Debbie, when we talk about the 1 to 10, you know, your marriage is 1 is terrible, 10 is terrific. That doesn't stay at the same number, you know.
Yeah, it starts over every day.
Yeah, it starts over really from hour to hour. You know, you can start out great in the morning and then it can fall apart because something happens. You know, you get frustrated about this, that, or the other. So it's a dynamic.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And marriage is a picture of our relationship with the Lord, just like your relationship with the Lord is moment to moment. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. You don't, but you can lose the closeness of fellowship with the Lord if you choose to do something sinful and stupid, and you got to get things right. So that picture, and God even gives us that in Ephesians 5. He said, this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ in the church about a husband and wife, Jesus and His bride. And so we have to constantly work to have a great marriage.
Right. And we were talking at the break about just different habits that we can put into place in our marriages that can help us keep that intimacy, keep that closeness, keep that vulnerability, keep that relationship going, that spark alive. And, you know, habits are easy to break. It doesn't mean that we do things perfectly when we're trying to create a habit. But we were talking about one of the things that is so important in terms of a habit to have in your marriage and in your relationship is that you do not let conflict stay unresolved.
Yes.
Because that just builds up a barrier in your relationship that if it builds up for too long, it can be really hard to ever completely get that wall down. And so now there are situations within marriage where you have an emotionally dysfunctional person that's not able really to ever have resolution in things.
Mm-hmm.
So that exists, absolutely. But to the best of your ability as a couple, when you are at an impasse with something that you just don't agree on, that you don't just let that sit and fester, but you continue to talk that out until you can reach a point of agreement, or you can reach a point of respect and understanding where you're just going to agree to disagree on something, but that you don't leave things unresolved.
Well, I think another thing that's really, really critical, I hear this a lot. Somebody will come in and say, they'll talk about how terrible their spouse is. I had somebody do this to me after church a few weeks ago. And did you know that we got divorced? No, I didn't. Did you know he did this and this and this and this and this, and it's been bad here and here and here? And just I mean, such a long laundry list of this guy's terrible. You know, you just listen to that, and initially it's like, why would you ever have married that guy? What would have possessed you to marry that guy? He sounds like the worst guy to ever put on a pair of pants. Oh, he wasn't like that when I married him. I was like, well, what did you do to the poor guy? You know, I mean, so here's the thing. Here's the challenge in marriage, because everybody has strengths and everybody has weaknesses. When you're dating, you focus on strengths. You know the weaknesses are there, or hopefully you can, you're not just oblivious to those, but you're not focusing on those. When you get married, the tendency is to flip it. you start to focus on the negatives, on the weaknesses, and you minimize the strengths and positives, and then the person becomes a big zero, a big negative. You have to constantly put before your mind, this is what I love about my spouse, and those positives are always there. The negatives are there, but you're not focusing on them, because if you do, things go south in a hurry. Well, we are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have William on the line from Colorado. William, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thanks
morning.
For taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I got a quick question for you. What happens in a marriage when, I'm a truck driver, so I'm not home a lot, uh-huh. What happens in a marriage when the time you do get to spend together, it seems like it's that beautiful butterfly does a lot of murmuring and complaining, and that's a wonderful time for her. At the same time, I'm wondering, as a Christian, how do I handle that? She had a friend that passed, and they got to do that a lot, but her friend has passed. Now mm-hmm. I'm feeling those shoes. But I'm feeling, okay, Lord, is this really how to handle? My question to you is how to handle that.
Yeah. Yeah, some people like to kind of, for lack of a better term, they like to tear down people and make some, I don't know why, but I would... Here's my response to that, William. So if I'm in that situation, I would try and steer the conversation to the positives, and so you're not slamming her like, why are we always talking about this? But trying to say, you know, that person may have some issues that we don't know about, but try and change the subject to something positive. And or turn that into a prayer request where it's like, you know, let's pray for that person, because that just sounds like it would be hard, you know, to be in that situation or those circumstances or whatever. So I would encourage you that way.
Well, and I think, too, just there are people just within their God-given temperaments that are the glasses half full people, you know, and so... to a certain extent, that has to have an internal switch that clicks within that kind of person.
You're talking about it, glass half empty?
Yes, glass half empty. Did I say half full?
Uh-huh.
Sorry, that was wrong.
Yeah, just a kind of a negative.
Just a negative bent. Mm-hmm. And I think in those instances, that has to be a work of the Holy Spirit to enlighten that person and take the blinders off of them to see, hey, a lot of what's coming out of my mouth is negative.
Uh-huh.
And so... I think to just really pray that the Holy Spirit would do a work in your wife to show her, hey, listen, a lot of what's coming out of your mouth is not positive, but it's negative and it's draining. And, you know, you need to work on glorifying me with the words that come out of your mouth. And I think if you say too much about that, it probably is going to be detrimental.
Right, she'll get mad.
Because you can't fix her, but you can sure pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in her.
Yeah, if that comes from the Lord. Now, I think steering the conversations positively will help with that without saying anything to her directly, and then just praying that God would convict her heart. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Speak words that build up, not words that tear down, that God the Holy Spirit would speak that to her. And so it's not something that you have to do. And then I would try and have those times when you're home to have times of prayer with her, and to pray about issues in your life, your marriage, your family, those kinds of things. But set it on a plane of we're looking up to the Lord, because He's the God who can do all things. So thanks for calling in, William. I appreciate that. It's a good question. Well, we have Paul on the line from Pennsylvania. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
In 2 weeks, we're going to have 60 years.
All right. Congrats.
And it's been a good ride. My one word of advice would be, you got to start out right. And that means it's a lifetime commitment. And if you don't have that to start out with, you're sunk.
Yes. That's exactly right. Yeah, marriages, until death do we part. And you can't go in there thinking, well, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to bail out. No, I told Debbie, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you, because we're in this for the long haul. Well, good. That's a good word, Paul. And you have to enter into marriage for a lifetime, It makes all the difference in the world. Well, God bless you, and congratulations 2 weeks early on your 60th wedding anniversary. Well, we have Cassandra on the line from Texas. Cassandra, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, hello. Thank you. I'll keep it quick and short, but yes, we're 36 years, not 60, but that's okay.
That's
but
good.
About 7 years in, yeah, about 7 years in, we hit a bump in the road, as they say. I won't go into details on that, but what helped me, I just bathed myself in the Word of God. I was a brand new believer at that time, and all I could do was read the Bible and obey the Bible. And 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 13. Is that the verse?
The chapter? The love chapter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Thank mm-hmm. you. I just read it and read it and read it and say, okay, I'm not even feeling this right now, but I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And like I said, my husband didn't know me anymore. I was a brand new believer. And he said, something's different. You've changed. I don't know you. And I didn't even know what happened. I just kept focusing on the Word of God. And here we are many years later with two grandbabies. So I just am thankful for the Word of God, yes.
Amen. Very good. Thanks, Cassandra. A good word for sure. Well, we have Alex on the line from Texas. Alex, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
So I want to share my testimony and hope it'll bless somebody that's listening.
Okay.
So this year, me and my wife turned 6 years since we married, and I would tell you we've been through a lot, like ups and downs. So my wife grew up without her dad, and ever since we were dating, she had this tendency of always being independent. And I think that came into our marriage where she had trouble, I guess, submitting to me. Mm-hmm. And I remember we would argue a lot because of that. And sometimes not specifically because of that, but I knew that was a problem. And so sometimes I would go and pray, sometimes even like crying, telling God, please change her. Why is she like this? Why is she like that? And it happened for several years. And one day, it was one night, I remember I was in the car just praying, and I literally just felt God telling me, like, worry about yourself, I'll take care of her. Like, stop asking me to change her and work on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else on that, Alex?
I think we might have lost him.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. He's back. Okay.
Yeah. And, so, and also telling me, like, to rely on his word. So what I did was just start reading more about marriage in the Bible and what I needed to do as a husband. And I know it took a lot of me because sometimes I had to, like, submit to the Lord and humble myself even when I knew I was right and my wife was wrong. And to the point where, like, right now we're doing so great. And I remember this one day my wife telling me, and I saw her change, but she just came up to me and we were studying the Bible. And she's like, you know what? I love this fact that I have to submit to yourself. I love it. Like, I really like it. I like submitting to you. And I was just like, in my mind, I was blown away. But I would just answer her like, cool. You know, I didn't know what else to say. I didn't want to boast on it or anything. But,
right,
you know, because sometimes as men, you know, it takes a lot of us to submit, and although sometimes we're right, we have to just, you know, do what the word says, which is love our wives and treat them softly.
Yeah. We need to be patient with our wives and, you know, doing what you did, be patient with her, allow God to change you and how you respond to her. And she is a responder. God created her to be a responder, and she responds to you when you love her and nourish her and cherish her and are kind to her and patient with her. She'll pick up on that. And
well,
so,
and I think most women, now this is not unilateral across the board, but most women do not have a problem submitting to a godly husband who loves her as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
They don't have a problem with that. They long for that because that's part of that protection and leadership that they so long for. And they don't thrive when they're the ones that are having to lead things. They thrive when their husband is the leader. And so they don't have trouble submitting to a godly man.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm sorry, Dusty from Texas. We're not going to have time. We're out of time on Real Truth for today. But thanks so much for listening. And hey, this might be a program that you want to share with a friend or a family member. You just go to AFR.net and go to the Real Truth for Today. And all the programs there are in the podcast section. And so we always end with this, with these two words, shine and share. Our job as Christians, shine for Christ, how you live, share, open your mouth, tell people the good news that Jesus and Jesus alone saves. And God will use you as his witness, as you shine and as you share. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.